Welcome to the forefront of collaboration, the nexus of innovation, and the hub of professional excellence. In IAOP's new PulseCast series, NextGen Showcase with Mark Wojtek, we navigate the vast seas of GBS, outsourcing, technology transformation, and organizational development. Special guests will join us on this journey, and together, we'll explore the market, discuss leading practices, provide thought-provoking insights, and foster discussions that enlighten, challenge, and inspire. Whether you're a seasoned GBS professional, or just curious about the power of technology and GBS, tune in. Now, adjust your speaker volume or slip on your headphones and let's journey into a world of possibilities and insights. This is Next Gen Showcase with Mark Wojtek.
So my name is Mark Wojtek, and I'm the Chief Advisor of Thought Leadership for IAOP. This is IAOP's Next Gen Showcase, where we highlight cool tools in the marketplace, referencing the role that they play within global business services. With that, I'd like to introduce Kit Cox, the founder and CEO of Enate, and also a good friend of mine for the last several years. Kit, over to you.
Mark, thank you very much, and lovely to be talking to all the fabulous members of IAOP. So let me introduce Enate to you and tell you a little bit about what we're about. Yeah. So let me take you through some stuff. Yeah. I'll start by sharing a little bit about what Enate's about and why we exist even. Yeah. And then I thought I'd tell you a story about a real customer engagement and how Enate works in the real world. Yeah. Take it out of theory into reality. Yeah. So why does Enate exist at all? Yeah. Fundamentally, we built Enate because, having worked in the shared services and outsourcing space for a long while, we saw fundamentally the way that operations are delivered. It's a lot of people putting in a lot of sweat in what feels like an outdated way, and in a mode that is going to change radically over the coming years. Too much manual work, too complex, not enough visibility of what's really happening. Yeah. And then when you bring outsourcing partners into it, two versions of the truth rather than one, and all sorts of complexities around that as well. Yeah. So that's what we decided to fix. And critically, we decided to fix it by putting the control of the operation and the control of process and work back firmly in the hands of the business. Yeah. We recognized that it just took too long and takes too long still in many organizations for IT to deliver the speed of change that the business needs to be able to cope with stuff. Yeah. And that's not because they're not working hard. They're working their socks off. Yeah. They are good colleagues working their socks off, but they're having to deal with the heavy lifting of those core underlying business platforms. And actually, as a GBS or as a service provider, you are needing to do that light dancing across the top of those to deliver agile service to your customers. That's where we come in. So what is Enate in that case? So we call it process orchestration. So it is the combination of workflow, work orchestration, and AI automation, and bringing those together in one platform to allow you to manage service delivery. And it's all about service delivery. Yeah. We don't sell Enate to people who aren't delivering a service to a customer. Yeah. And do that in a seamless, controlled way. Yeah. Landing in a place where you're not missing SLAs, you've got good visible control of your work, you've got real-time measurement to actually help you shape and control the business. You've got a real metrics-driven approach that isn't about what I can measure, yeah, which is what most metrics are about. It's about measuring what's actually important to the business. Yeah. And giving you a tool set to continuously improve. Yeah. You're going through get control, measure, improve. Yeah. So yeah, capabilities-wise, then we land across these four pillars. Yeah. So workflow orchestration, one source of the truth, even if you have outsourcing partners in play, yeah, about what work is being done by whom, when it needs to get done to deliver service to your customers. Secondly, automation. Let's face it, we've all been talking automation extensively for a good few years now. And now this is fundamentally about delivering on the actual promise of automation, not little odds and spots of automation randomly sprayed around the business. Systemic, meaningful automation, AI driven rather than mechanically driven in a kind of RPA rules kind of way to deliver real value. So those are two kind of feature core pillars of Innate. Then there are two philosophical core pillars of Innate almost. One is simplicity. Yeah. Simplicity is the heart of the way that we have built our product, is the heart of the way that we operate. What simplicity means is, in one way, we try to do a lot of the hard thinking so that our customers don't have to. Yeah. That's how you make something simple for somebody to adopt and to work with, is by walking the hard yards for them. And the corollaries of simplicity are fast to deploy, usable by business people, and flexible to change. Yeah. And speed to value is the other kind of philosophical core of, yeah, everything about this is, how do I get live in weeks? How do I deliver value and ROI super fast? Yeah. And how do I not go off on a super complicated jazz solo of getting into endless process design when, for a whole load of things, just being able to manage it and count it and automate some parts is where the value lies. Yeah.
Where does the Innate get positioned from a market perspective? I obviously see the value for large global companies, and you talk about that even in the simplicity pillar. But from a holistic market perspective,
yeah,
what's the range of clients, and then who's the typical buyer? If we're going to get to that, maybe cover it there. But
yeah,
maybe just a teaser here.
No, so the kind of customers that use Innate really well and get loads of value are broadly the mid to top end of mid market, bottom end of enterprise. We've got some big enterprise customers, yeah, that kind of space. And who are we trying to poke in the eye? Well, we're poking ServiceNow in the eye, really, yeah. Not in the IT service management space, we're not going there. But there are lots of businesses for whom ServiceNow is too expensive, too complicated, too slow, yeah, too much IT are doing it first, and they'll get around to helping us in a few years' time. Yeah, that's where we aim. Yeah. Does that answer that question?
Yeah. What about the typical buyer within functions of a company?
Typical buyer. So very much it'll be somebody like a GBS head, or if it's a service provider, it'll be an operations leader, as the COO kind of person, or somebody in that kind of change and transformation role. Yeah. So your transformation leader, change leader, your head of finance transformation, head of HR transformation, those kind of roles. Yeah. All of them are on the business side. We don't sell to the IT function. We obviously work with the IT, but our buyers, the people that we deliver value to, are those business people. They are the people that hold the budget. Yeah.
No, that's helpful. So, and then I see guaranteed measurable results within 3 months. Is there a concept of what do they call it? An MVP, a minimal viable product, or a POC? And does that then act as a pilot and maybe justification for the additional rollout?
Yeah,
I know you're going to get into this with a use case.
No, it's totally cool. So we've got this approach of how do you get live? We go, you operationalize, which is you are live in 6 weeks, seeing value in 12 weeks. Yeah. So that is, that's, you cut your cloth appropriately to make sure that happens, and our solution methodologies and our partners help you shape that so that you are live in 6 weeks, getting value in 12 weeks, measurable value in 12 weeks. Yeah. And then everything beyond that, you would then have a data set to make decisions about what you do next. Yeah. You have a data set to go, great, do I go wider across more teams? Yeah. You have a data set to go, say, do I go deeper to automate some certain activities? Yeah. But it makes it much easier to make decisions once you've got a data set. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. No, so that's helpful.
That approach, operationalize, optimize, automate is the way that we go. And that operationalized bit, get value straight up there.
Yeah. Fantastic. Perfect.
And then kind of unpacking that automation bit a bit more. Yeah. So this is where we're into, right, how do you actually apply AI? How do you operationalize AI in service delivery? Yeah. And we've got this really simple model of a service. Yeah. That every service kind of has three steps to it. The first step is figuring out what your customer's asking you to do. Then the second step is going assembling the data to do what your customer's asking you to do. And the third step is just getting on and doing it. And actually, what our approach to deploying AI is actually following that chain down. So the first place is that AI has landed is in that area of figuring out what the customer's asking me to do. So we've got, AI is automatically classifying every email that comes into a shared service center and getting it to the right people to actually go and deliver on that service and assigning it the right SLA. Straight up. No human involvement. Just do that. Actually, we're also automatically assessing the sentiment of each interaction with every customer. Yeah. Every email will go, right, is Mark today? Is he a smiley face? Is he a sad face? Or is he just all right? Yeah. And then all of those interactions we're extracting data from. You don't have to go, go and tell me what exactly one you've extracted out of this email. You've gone, well, it's this type of work. We've classified it. Therefore, I'm just going to go and suck the data that I need for that type of work out. Yeah. And then we're starting to get into that next stage. So that's great. We've figured out what the customer's asking us to do. We've classified it. We've given it the right SLA. We've got it to the right people. We've understood that actually we might need to jump on it particularly quickly because Mark's not very happy today. Yeah. And now we're off into, okay, now let's get some of the data together. So the first part of that is great. We've got intelligent document processing baked into Innate. You can use Innate AI for that, or you can bring the IDP tool that you've got in your estate and orchestrate it with Innate. We don't mind which you go with, yeah? And then we're getting further into then delivering AI analysis capability. I'll come on to some of that, what's coming soon a little bit later, yeah? So that's unpacking that AI bit. So workflow, automation, and that automation really being AI-centric. And the simplicity of this is, how do you enable this? How do you train it? You switch it on. So how do you set up classification for your emails? You press the on button. How do you get sentiment analysis going across every communication that you receive? You press the give me sentiment analysis button. Yeah. That's what simple actually means. There's a whole load of heavy lifting that we've done behind that, but that's what simple means there.
Yeah. What does that mean from a customer success within Innate? Obviously, you've got the different disciplines of go-to-market, whether it's marketing, alliances, customer success, or sales. From a customer success or an account management perspective, I would expect, based on what you just portrayed and some of the conversations we've had previously, that you've got very high customer success. Maybe talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. So if you're in that service delivery game, understanding sentiment, yeah, it's the lifeblood of customer success. Yeah. I mean, NPS has been a fantastic tool, yeah, for understanding that, but ultimately it's a rearview mirror. Yeah. It's the 6 month rearview mirror, and you look in it in 6 months' time, every 6 months, and you go, that little group of customers wasn't very happy. We've done brilliantly there, but we've got this. And then you go, okay, so what am I going to do to fix that? I don't know, we'll make some changes, and then you look in the rearview mirror again in 6 months' time. So that kind of real-time sentiment, though, gives you the view of the road ahead, so that you can actually steer the customer down that course. Yeah, and we've got, you know, the story I'll take you through in a second. Actually, the customer I'll talk to you about is doing that real-time sentiment analysis on 30 odd thousand customer interactions a day. Yeah. And now correlating that, and then the changes they make on the back of that, correlating that with direct NPS improvement.
Which what I love about it is the support for business operations, business success, driving business value for your clients is really at the forefront of what Enate is all about. So you can get that very quick, high value payback within the support that you're providing for your client base. I think that's definitely one of the differentiators that I've seen.
Yeah, exactly. So let me tell you that customer story. Yeah.
Yep.
Who's the hero of our story? The hero of our story here is Russell Sheldon. So Russell is, firstly, he's got an interesting job title. He's the Chief Operations and Technology Officer for TMF. Yeah. Now that, yeah, just as the starting point, actually having operations and technology under one role, that's an exceptionally powerful route to transform. Yeah. Because in most businesses, in most GBS, there is no operation without technology. But by God, technology needs to dance to the tune of operations and not the other way around. Yeah. And all too often it doesn't. So actually having that one point allowed a whole bunch of this story that I'm going to tell you to unfold. Yeah. So TMS, what services are they running on and around Enate? So they're providing finance and accounting services, HR and payroll services, and company secretarial entity management services. So the first two of those are those totally, you know, sweet spot GBS service layers. Yeah. And that third one is around some of TMF's go to market in helping other organizations globalize. Yeah. Across those three main service lines, they've got about 900 processes that comprise those service lines. Yeah. And they deliver them to a large number of customers. And the service delivery operation, imagine, you know, you used to wear a pretty significant hat at EY. Yeah. And that transformation. So this transformation project, imagine this. The operation that you're transforming is about 5,500, 6,000 service delivery staff. In 75 countries. They speak about 12 languages. The service gets delivered in about 12 languages. And then you go, right, and I'm going to start your transformation project at the start of 2020, at which point you're not going to be allowed to go and travel anywhere or see anyone. It's not an obvious that's going to be an easy project to deliver. Yeah. So, but the TMF team delivered this transformation across this scale of organization. And the reason it was possible was because of that simplicity part, which meant that it could be delivered by, yeah, of those 5,500 people, about 700 of them, yeah, put on an extra hat as, yeah, business technologist, yeah, somebody who helped deploy Enate for them in the way that worked for them in their country. But still within this kind of framework of standards that have been set centrally. Yeah. So this was a transformation program that ran with three global process owners for each of those three service lines, a couple of center of excellence people around training and knowledge transfer, and this group of business technologists. That's how it was delivered. And it delivered a 20% productivity improvement, 32 million of annual OPEX savings, uncritically then landed as the backbone to deliver further digital transformation. Yeah. Now I'll unpack that further digital transformation in a minute, because let's face it, digital one person's digital transformation is somebody else's not digital transformation. So what did it mean in TMF's terms? So with Innate, yeah, Innate formed this kind of central backbone, yeah, of they had that their core service delivery team, those 5,500 people, delivering service to that number of clients in those 75 countries. Massive amounts of the work is being delivered and controlled by email. So every email that comes into that, the entire operation is managed through Innate. An awful lot of work is driven by schedules, as you can imagine, you know, month-end finance schedules, payroll schedules. Yeah. Every single schedule is managed in Innate. But that then sits on top of, yeah, and once they got that basic control, they then created the automation layer, orchestrated by Innate. And the great thing about orchestrating work like this is you can use the right tool for the right job. Yeah. An awful lot of their service is about transforming data format A that the customer gives you into data format B that you can process. And by data format, what I normally mean is spreadsheet A into spreadsheet B. Yeah. Let's be honest. Yeah. Alteryx, brilliant tool for that. Orchestrated by Innate, Alteryx, great tool for that purpose. Yeah. They obviously sit on top of a whole load of line of business platforms. Yeah. So the payroll platforms for different countries. Yeah. The finance platform that they're running on across, just like every GBS sits on top of, yeah, Oracle EBS or SAP 4HANA, etc. Yeah. And the route into those underlying platforms, well, MuleSoft was the iPaaS that they used, and UiPath was the RPA tool that they used. Yeah. So MuleSoft for all the API driven stuff, UiPath for the classic RPA stuff. Yeah. And then they started to do some stuff with DocuSign around what DocuSign does. And UiPath Communications Mining, which was that UiPath tool for, yeah, reading emails and assessing emails. More about that in a second. So step one, where those numbers came from, was just putting this middle backbone in place. Step two, then deliver further value by adding these orange boxes. Yeah. And then that's the operations transformation. That's doing the, how do we change what we do internally? The digital transformation came after that, then, where they built out a platform called Kreos, which the very dated, very deliberately created customer-focused platform, specially built, you know, by them and their partners, as their face out to their client base. But the lifeblood of that platform pretty much is data that comes from Innate. Yeah. So whereas the client might, you know, submit some data through Kreos that they might have previously submitted through email, great, that still comes down into the Innate platform. So all of the TMF staff are sitting in Innate and their end clients are up in Kreos. Yeah. So that's how they went from operational transformation to, great, now we can create a digital customer experience that they wouldn't have had a cat's chance in hell of doing before. And then the final kind of evolution, the final flourish of this, I suppose, is, right, where are they now? Yeah. So you can see a few of these things have switched out. Yeah. So actually, a couple of UiPath boxes have gone here. So UiPath Communication Mining, they've replaced with Innate AI, because having spent a long time trying to train communication models, you know, we landed something, went, okay, look, we can be more accurate with no training in 12 languages immediately. Yeah. So great value there. They've partnered with a great company called Inferred for intelligent document processing. So again, Innate's orchestrating inferred. Yeah, and every time there is a human in the loop needed to support inferred, that's brought back to somebody in Innate that's being managed as part of the end-to-end workflow. And finally, they're starting to look at Innate self-service as a route to some of their smaller clients. Yeah. So that's the evolution. Yeah. And it continues to evolve. Yeah. Now that's that story of how do you go deliver really significant value, use orchestration as the backbone to deliver meaningful automation that actually adds value, using that to pivot to digital transformation, yeah, and deliver those numbers early doors along the way.
Terrific. So this was the 32 million savings, and then over time you continued to provide additional savings in addition to the productivity improvements, and I would also think maybe additional risk mitigation and operational excellence.
Yeah.
What am I missing there? Anything or
no? You're exactly right. So to play the numbers down, so that 32 million, comes with this white box. Yeah. Then additional incremental value, and time reduction, accuracy increase with these. Yeah. Then the value from landing Kryos, the value from that is stop looking at the bottom line. Now let's drive the top line. Yeah. That is, this allows radical market differentiation, allows them to take a different proposition to market that allows them to outcompete. Yeah. So savings control and risk reduction, further productivity improvement, change the top line.
So if this, from an Innate perspective, if this costs a client X, or if Innate costs X, what would be an estimate for what ServiceNow would have cost here? Because I think it would be X, exponentially but do you have any benchmarks?
Let's break this out. I have a convenient slide on Innate versus ServiceNow, actually. There you go. Or Service Later, excellent, as I called it.
That's great.
So cost-wise, license-wise, you're probably looking at something that's roughly in the, if Innate is X, ServiceNow is going to be roughly 4 to 5x. Implementation cost and time-wise, you are looking at, if Innate is X, ServiceNow is going to be roughly 6 to 10x in time. Yeah. That's roughly what you're looking at there. Yeah. Now, I'm not going to say we can do every single thing you can do with ServiceNow, because that way you don't be simple. Yeah.
Yeah.
But most of the things that if you're running a GBS, you want to do with ServiceNow, you can do in Innate without the rest of the grief that goes with delivering in ServiceNow. Yeah. And by putting it in the hands of the business users. Yeah.
Great.
So that's where the comparators lie, really. Yeah.
And I would think there's additional payback in change management, governance, and even program management, the efficiencies with shorter implementation times, the simplicity, the development, and even the automation from a deployment of a GBS program, enhancing the market, taking Innate and or ServiceNow to the next level. I would think Innate pays additional dividends on, again, program management, change management, and governance of programs like this, correct?
Absolutely correct. And a lot of that comes down to that citizen first approach. Yeah. Because to make that possible, you have to have architected the platform like we have to allow separation. Yeah. So let's say we're rolling this out across Belgium and Brazil. Yeah. Now, there is a level at which things are the same in Belgium and Brazil. But when you get down to the lower levels, they aren't the same. And One way that the classical way, the ServiceNow way, the classical BPM way to approach that is you go, right, we need to get the Belgians and the Brazilians in a room together, and we need to spend a whole load of time analyzing their processes. And we're going to put a whole load of, we're going to create one big diagram, and then we're going to go, right, if we're in Belgium, we go left, and if we're in Brazil, we go right. And you create this one large model. And what that means is that's where governance comes from. Because if the Brazilians want to change something, then you need some governance to make sure they don't break the Belgians. Yeah.
Right.
What we do in Innate is we give you a structure that says, look, we're going to have these standards at that higher level. So if somebody asks, where are we with this accounts payable process in Brazil and where are we with it in Belgium, they will talk the same language. But we don't force each to work into the same low-level model of how that process is delivered. Yeah.
Right.
They can pick things off the same menu. They have to pick things off the same menu, but they don't have to eat all of the same dishes. Yeah.
Right.
So that way you massively reduce the governance load. Yeah. And you increase agility. Yeah. Because the fact is, most of the world isn't actually standard. It's standard at that level, and then it changes at a lower level. Yeah.
Perfect. No, that's great.
That's where the payoff comes through from there. Yeah. So that's the route through, really, of, you know, that TMF story. You know, I could equally have told you this, you know, this story with EY, where, you know, your alma mater, yeah, where EY actually use Innate in their GBS or GDS function, as it's called in EY. Yeah. Again, it's really interesting GBS, GDS operation, because it's not just those kind of classic back office processes. In fact, a bunch of those have been outsourced. Yeah. It is much more of the middle office ones, the anti-money laundering, the conflicts, those kind of things. And that's where they've got their Innate deployment in there. We started in finance and accounting, yeah, right, and actually stayed with it that when it got outsourced, but yeah, have actually grown up in those kind of middle office processes. Yeah. And that's why I think that's where really sophisticated GBS lands, is it's not just in classic back office, it's really sucking those middle office ones and optimizing them as well. Yeah.
Absolutely. Now, in my role as Chief Advisor of Thought Leadership for IAOP, the discussions that I'm having with clients, obviously extending the back office to the middle office and even the front office, to have GBS be more of a proactive influence on the business, continuing to drive insights and actions across the entire landscape of front, middle, and back office versus back in the day. And again, I've been doing this now for like 25 years as an advisor, versus it was just give me the lowest level common denominator, the transaction itself, and I'll get it done and it'll be less expensive. What I like about the story for GBS is it progresses, and the role that an Innate can play is that it continues to drive efficiency, visibility, and effort improvements across that entire portfolio. So really positive signs for Innate based on the work that you're doing with large entities like EY and some of the other folks that you're working with.
Absolutely. And actually, as you move up into those middle office layers, that's where the need to be flexible really does, you know, it really, really comes through, because, you know, EY's, you know, whilst somebody's AP process pretty similar, you know, between,
right,
yeah, different accounts have different approaches to conflicts management. Yeah, they're specific to the organization at that point. Yeah,
correct.
So that flexibility need that we're really good on comes through massively. Yeah,
awesome.
And it just lands into that really straightforward back to that. How do I get to value? Operationalize, get, you know, using it to get your arms around the service. Yeah. 12 weeks, get that value in there. Yeah. Optimize, as in, great, I've operationalized something. Now I've got data that I can use to change it and make it better as well. Yeah. And then automate. It's so easy. most people, let's face it, have approached transformation and change and have go, just go automate stuff. Woohoo, let's go. Yeah. But actually, if you haven't got the backbone in place, then your automation just kind of flaps around in the wind. Yeah. So that's why this route to value really works. Yeah. And it's, you know, we work with GBS and end clients, but we also work with some of the leading BPO players as well. So into that, how do these organizations start delivering better services for those kind of top end of mid-market, bottom end of enterprise kind of client? Yeah, that's where we have a big focus as well. And that's, there you go, that's my introduction to Innate for you. Yeah, what do we do, and a real customer story.
Well, this is fantastic. What are some things, what are the three things you'd like to leave with for the folks that'll be listening in? You know, what are the three things they need to keep in mind when they're considering an effort like this or an opportunity like this?
So the first is, do you want to make meaningful change? Yeah. So whatever you're deploying, whether it's Innate, whether it's ServiceNow, whatever it is you are making a decision to change how the service is delivered and change how people delivering the service work for the better. Yeah. But you've got to be up for it. Yeah. So firstly, do you want to make meaningful change? Yeah. Secondly, are you a business that is wanting that kind of speed and agility? There are some that, you know, there are some who, for whatever reason, just have tissue rejection to that approach. Yeah. But there are many for whom it's essential. Yeah. So that's the second. Yeah. And the third is, and this comes to the AI and automation part, is think of it, you know, make sure whoever you're working with as a vendor in this space is working in a way where they're making the bets for you and are owning the bets that get made on different AI capabilities. Yeah. The world that we're in terms of the change that's going to be landing through AI and service delivery over the next few months and years is, yeah, right now we're delivering fantastic value working with Microsoft and OpenAI, you know, through those kind of services. But the reality is, in 2 months' time, or possibly 2 weeks' time, yeah, something new and better comes along for a particular capability. And you've got to make sure you're working with a vendor who's going to make that switch for you. That's what simple means. We got to do the hard yards of, great, something better is now available. It's now available to you just because that's part of the service. So those are the three things I'd say.
And I think for me, if you're a GBS leader, if you're a CFO, if you're in business and one of the functional leads or the geographic leads, you really need to be talking to Innate. This is IAOP's Next Gen Showcase. My name's Mark Wojtek. Again, I'd like to thank Kit Cox, both a friend, colleague, and business associate. Really looking forward to what Innate is going to do, has done, is doing, and will do in the next 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 years. So really excited about the opportunity. And Kit, thank you for talking about Innate today.
Absolute pleasure, Mark. Thank you very much.